Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, October 6th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study.
Hey there, Ted. Great to be here. This study's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it?
Thanks for having me, Ted. Though I've got to say, I'm not as easily impressed as Eric seems to be.
Today, we're discussing a new study that suggests a simple eating habit could significantly reduce the risk of diabetes and heart disease. Let's start with the basics. What is metabolic syndrome, and why is it important?
Well, Ted, metabolic syndrome is like a perfect storm of health problems all rolled into one nasty package. It's a cluster of conditions that jack up your risk of heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. And get this, it's not just a problem for a few folks. We're talking about over one-third of U.S. adults dealing with this. That's a whopping 100 million people. It's like filling every seat in 1,000 football stadiums. Scary stuff, right?
While that's true, it's crucial to note that these conditions are often lifestyle-related and can be managed with proper intervention.
Absolutely, Kate, but let's not downplay the seriousness here. The key is indeed intervention, and that's exactly what this study zeroed in on. They focused on time-restricted eating, which is a fancy way of saying intermittent fasting. It's a game changer because it's not just about what you shovel into your mouth, but when you do the
shoveling. Hold on. Are we really suggesting that simply changing when people eat can have such a drastic impact? That seems too simplistic. There's got to be more.
It might seem simple, Kate, but that's the beauty of it. Sometimes the most effective solutions are the simplest ones. Think about it. We're not asking people to overhaul their entire diet or start running marathons. We're just shifting their eating window.
Let's dig into the study itself. What were the key findings?
The results were pretty mind-blowing, Ted. After just 3 months of restricting their eating to a 10-hour window daily, participants saw significant improvements in key heart health markers. We're talking lower blood sugar, better cholesterol levels, and a drop in hemoglobin A1C. That's the big gun for measuring long-term blood sugar control. It's like their bodies got a tune-up without even changing the parts.
But couldn't these improvements be due to other factors? They were also given nutritional counseling on the Mediterranean diet.
Fair point, Kate. But here's the kicker. The control group also got the same counseling, yet they didn't see these benefits. It's like both groups got the same roadmap, but only the time-restricted eaters actually took the journey. This strongly suggests that the timing of meals was the secret sauce
here. I'm still skeptical. How can we be sure this wasn't just a short-term effect? People often see quick results when they start a new diet, but then things level off or even reverse.
That's an interesting point. The study was conducted over 3 months. What about long-term effects?
You're right to ask about that, Ted. While longer studies are definitely needed to really nail this down, the initial results are seriously promising. Here's the thing. The improvements they saw were on par with what you'd get from much more intensive interventions, like those in the National Diabetes Prevention Program. It's like getting the results of a hardcore boot camp by just changing your meal times. Pretty cool, right?
But isn't it dangerous to restrict eating times? Won't people just end up binging during their eating window? That could
actually, Kate, the study found no negative effects like that at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Participants not only improved their metabolic markers, but they also lost weight and body fat. And here's the real kicker. They didn't lose muscle mass, which is often a big worry with weight loss interventions. It's like they got all the pros.
Let's put this study in historical context. Are there any similar dietary interventions from the past that we can compare this to?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of the Okinawa diet, which was all the rage back in the early 2000s. The folks in Okinawa, Japan, have this nifty little practice called harahachi bu. It basically means eating until you're 80% full. It's like leaving a little room in the tank, you know?
That's completely different. The Okinawa diet is about how much you eat, not when you eat. You can't just lump these
things
together.
Whoa, hold your horses, Kate. You're right that they're not identical, but they've got more in common than you might think. Both are all about mindful eating and controlling intake. And get this, Okinawans have some of the longest life expectancies in the world. Their dietary habits are like the secret sauce to
a long, healthy life. But the Okinawa diet also emphasizes specific foods, like sweet potatoes and soy. This time-restricted eating doesn't seem to care what you eat. It's just about timing, which seems too simplistic.
Interesting comparison. How do the results of the Okinawa diet compare to this new study?
Great question, Ted. The Okinawa diet has been linked to lower rates of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, pretty much the same improvements we're seeing in this time-restricted eating study. It's like they're two different roads leading to the same healthy destination. The Okinawans have been reaping these benefits for generations, which really speaks to the potential of this new approach.
But the Okinawa diet has been studied for decades. This new study only lasted 3 months. We can't possibly compare them. It's like comparing a seasoned marathon.
I get where you're coming from, Kate, but hear me out. While the time frames are different, both approaches show significant improvements in metabolic health. In fact, the long-term success of the Okinawa diet actually supports the potential of this new approach. It's like the Okinawa diet is the wise old grandpa and time-restricted eating is the promising
young
whippersnapper.
That's a stretch. The cultural and lifestyle differences between Okinawans and Americans are vast. We can't assume similar results. Americans have completely different eating habits, work schedules, and social norms.
I hear you, Kate, but that's the beauty of time-restricted eating. It's incredibly flexible and can be applied to any diet or culture. It's not about changing what you eat, but when you eat. It's like a one-size-fits-all solution that actually fits all. You could be chowing down on sushi in Tokyo or burgers in New York. The timing is what matters.
But changing when people eat could disrupt their social lives and work schedules. Is it really practical? I mean, what about dinner parties, late night work?
Let's look to the future. How might this research impact healthcare and society if widely adopted?
If time-restricted eating proves effective long-term, we could be looking at a real game changer. Ted, imagine a significant reduction in metabolic syndrome cases across the board. We're talking potentially millions of people living healthier lives. This could lead to a massive drop in healthcare costs and a huge boost in quality of life. It's like giving society a health upgrade.
That's overly optimistic. People struggle to stick to diets as it is. Restricting eating times would be even harder to maintain. You're expecting people
I get your concern, Kate, but here's the thing. This isn't your run-of-the-mill diet. We're not asking people to count every calorie or swear off their favorite foods. It's just a simple timing change. It's like setting an eating alarm clock, way easier to stick to than most diets.
Even if it works, it could lead to disordered eating patterns or anxiety around food timing. People might become obsessed with watching the clock instead of listening to their bodies.
Interesting points. What about the potential impact on the food industry?
Great question, Ted. We might see a real shakeup in dining habits. Restaurants and food delivery services could start adapting their hours to cater to folks following time-restricted eating patterns. Imagine fasting-friendly menus or special early bird and late-night dining options. It could open up a whole new market.
That's ridiculous. You can't expect entire industries to change based on one study. Plus, it could negatively impact shift workers or people with non-traditional schedules. What about nurses?
Whoa, slow down there, Kate. You're missing a key point. This approach is actually super customizable. In the study, participants got to choose their own 10-hour window based on their personal schedules. It's not one size fits all. It's more like one size adjusts.
But what about social events or holidays? This could isolate people from important cultural and social experiences. Are we supposed to skip Thanksgiving dinner or birthday celebrations just because it's outside our eating window?
Come on, Kate. It's all about balance. No one's saying you have to be a slave to the clock 24/7. Occasional deviations won't negate the overall benefits. The key is consistency most of the time. It's like having a cheat day in your diet. One slice of birthday cake isn't going to undo months of healthy eating.
I still think this is an oversimplification of a complex issue. Metabolic health involves many factors beyond just meal timing. We can't ignore things like stress, genetics.
Well, folks, it looks like we've stirred up quite the debate here. While time-restricted eating shows promise, it's clear there's still much to explore. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their insights and to our listeners for tuning in. Until next time, this is Ted signing off from Listen 2.